Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today with us here on Tell Del Tuesday is Robert Hale out of Central Texas area. And he's been a mentor with us for some time, but before that, he was a regular old member, just like everybody else, with the same concerns and considerations that all of you have of whether or not you want to get started. So, Robert, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Dale. Appreciate it. It's good to be on with you.
Let's start way back there when you were just someone on the outside, not liking the job a little bit, or a lot, yeah. Or however much that was, that got you spurred up to want to look at something else. Talk about that corporate America experience and how it drove you to look for something.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we were in the oil and gas business for about 20 years, and I was an engineer and manager, worked up to a regional manager at a international oil company. And, you know, it's funny because whenever I got started, it was awesome. Right out of school, I'm out in the field, you know, doing lots of hands-on stuff, working with teams, solving problems, and it's exciting and fun. And then as you kind of move up the ladder, there's a little more bureaucracy, and then corporate life is interesting. You know, the pay is great, but sometimes the the boardroom battles are not as fun to be part of. And so, you know, I've always kind of liked being hands on and helping people out. And we got to a point that it was just a little bit of a toxic environment to be in, with people, you know, battling over money, who's going to get funds, all that kind of good stuff. And so, you know, I decided that I was going to get out of oil and gas. We had moved to Central Texas. There wasn't a lot of oil and gas companies here at the time, and do something completely different. And I heard you on the radio, and I was getting gas. It was a Sunday, and you were talking about, you know, how long would it take to get to spend your savings if you had lost your job. And I was thinking, well, I'm thinking about doing something different. That's a good question. And then you really sparked my interest with the with retiring, with the definition of retiring, with your passive income offsetting your expenses. I had never heard of that, never thought of that. It was always 401k, IRA, you know, build up enough money until hopefully you die before your pile of money expires. And so, you know, we came to a initial seminar, and then we signed up in 2016 as preferred members straight out of the bag. So, it's been a great experience since then, for sure. It's been definitely a life-changing experience, and it was a pretty quick life-changing experience. So,
wow, that's interesting. The door was so open. You had made the decision something had to change. What kind of things did you think you were going to do, just out of curiosity?
You know, whenever I first thought about doing something different, I thought I would be a realtor. I thought that I would, you know, I like helping people. I thought it'd be fun to be able to find a house for somebody that they could live in and call a home or whatnot. And I thought that would be, you know, a potential option for me. I hadn't really at that point 100% decided that I was going to leave. It was just something that I really had a strong desire to. So, you know, it's funny I'd never done real estate before, Dale. You know, the only time I'd ever transacted on a real estate transaction was whenever we would relocate for the job. So I had zero experience with that. But, you know, your map teaches us how to do it right, and be successful. And we followed that map, and, you know, we thank you for helping us to be able to change our life.
Well, if you can think back 9 years ago and entering the first case study and or the first 2 day, did you take did you take the free workshop first and then the 2 day, or how'd you get in here?
I sure did. Yeah, I took the 2 day, or took the workshop here in San Antonio, and then and that was in December. There wasn't another event, I think, until January. I was ready to sign up really after that December workshop, because I thought, well, this will be something that, you know, if it doesn't work, it's just an opportunity to try something new. went to the and then I didn't go to a case study just then. I went to the 2-day in January, and then I took my wife to a 2-day over in Austin in February, and we signed up, and then we started going to the case studies, and it was really impressive because at that point you could really see like the different people that would get up there, and they were successful, single family, multifamily, and it was different folks every time. They had you know, great projects, but it was funny because I didn't really realize that somebody, just a normal person, could go out and buy an apartment community. You know, single family certainly makes sense. You got a real estate investment, a rental house or something like that. But the opportunity to be able to go out and actually buy apartment communities is something I just thought that it was like a corporate thing. You know, it wasn't something an individual could do, or an individual with a couple partners could do. So it was really interesting. And the case studies were always motivating because it showed you that, hey, this guy did it, why can't you? And different people, different experiences, different, you know, career paths and whatnot. And, you know, you've got a map worked out for us. So as long as we're willing to follow that map and listen to the guidance, success was very probable.
Now, being an engineer, there's always got to be a little skepticism somewhere. I mean, that's just part of the nature of being an engineer, I think. Let's talk about that. Did you have any initial skepticisms?
Yeah,
is plural of skepticism skepticisms, or is it just skeptics?
It's skeptics.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm an engineer, so you know, numbers are my thing, but spelling and grammar may not be. But so you know, I was pretty frustrated there with the position that I was in, and so I was really looking for something to do. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to jump in and see what this thing's about. So I had less skepticism on joining. I will say that it was a little bit like, you know, we go to the 2-day and we go through the math and everything makes sense. It seems very, very simple. And then, but it's like, you know, how is that possible? It just doesn't, you know, how can you retire in 2.5 years or 3.5 years or whatever? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. But even if it's not 2.5 or 3.5 years, there's something that's giving you some hope to be able to get to something that's a little bit different than where you're at right now. So, you know, I've probably wasn't as quite as much of a type B as a normal engineer would be. But I was excited to try something new, you know, and so I was eager to get in, get started, you know, see how everything worked and just kind of go from there.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We're finding out now that the marketing, the people that legally control what you can and can't say in marketing are saying that you can't make claims anymore. This is something that's just come up recently. And for years, you know, people have come in here and under the assumption that they could replace their earned income with passive income over X period of time. Notice I'm not saying any specific period of time because now we can't say that. So that's fine. But the reality is that there are some percentage of people who are willing to work hard enough, who are willing to align their finances the way we teach them to align them, that eventually their passive income does catch up to where they don't need their earned income anymore. So we have to learn how to say that, and I'm bringing this up here with you because you're one of our mentors. We have to learn to say that without actually making any promises that it's this long or that long, or that even we can't even promise that everybody can do it. So I don't think that's a problem for me because there's so many people out there. Once they get in here, they're going to meet these people, and the people themselves are going to tell them what they've done. And so I'm comfortable with that. But in saying that, I have to start at this point somewhere, turning the conversations around from specific dates and times. And I know for 35 years, people were getting up here. I did it in this amount of time. I did it in that amount of time, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you specifically...
Yep.
Came in, and had you quit your job yet or not when you first started?
Mm-mm. No, All right. Started off with passive investment. And so the first year we got into 4 deals. The next year we got into 8 deals. And then as we were in these, then, you know, we were seeing the reports come out and all that kind of good stuff, studying up. I called it education through observation, you know, watching these other guys that were doing the lead.
So let's talk about passive deals. Robert, you started with passive, and let's talk about how did you pick the deals you went into? We've had this conversation for 25 years now, 35 years we've been open, but only 25 years of doing syndications. Question is, do you pick the horse or do you pick the jockey? What were your thoughts when you were starting to get into these 41 deals?
Well, when we first started getting in, you know, we were excited to get in, just like a lot of people are. And so we were looking at the numbers and we were visiting with the leads. It was important to us. And at that time, you know, there was we met all of our leads in person and had conversations with them and you know, kind of gained that relationship with them. So you were able to, you know, kind of have a decent understanding of hopefully what kind of character they had, what kind of experience they had, you know, if they were going to be able to do this, and then what kind of history they had, if they had led on other projects before. And so, you know, we jumped in pretty quick. Like I said, we were in four deals in the first year, and then the next year we got into eight deals, and you know, we were really, really happy with the returns that we saw on those. So it's kind of a mix. It's a mix of the project and as well as the lead. You know, it's how confident you are that they can do the job, and then how confident you are that they can do that job on that specific project.
So let's talk about this for a second. I've got a 35-year anniversary coming up. I'm going to break this in here. And it's going to be September, I believe it is 4th, we're going to have the case study. And it's going to be from 6 at night on to about 8 or 9, and then after that we'll go out to dinner and have, you know, networking and so forth. Are you going to attend that or not?
We are looking at coming down to attend that.
All right, great. So people are going to be able to meet Robert at this event. I'm also going to be teaching that weekend, the 6th and the 7th in Houston, the 2-day, and I'm going to teach more than just the normal startup class, which we normally teach to get you going. I'm going to be teaching the startup class and adding my 35 years worth of color commentary on how things have changed. And a lot of things, you know, they come and they go and they change and whatever. But interestingly enough, there's successes and failures and a little bit of insight into those, give you a little clear idea of where you should go with this. But if you want to come to this and you're not a member, I'm going to have an anniversary sale. I am having an anniversary sale starting yesterday or the day before, where you can get in for a very, very low price, only $197 for a year membership. And to do that, you're going to have to text the word radio to 88007. So text just the word radio to 88007. Now, special. If you sign up for the 197, it's family membership. It's husband, wife, and kids 18 years of age and younger. And then for $1 more, you can buy another membership. That membership can go to anybody you want. And if you give that member to somebody, that's a family membership also, which is husband, wife, and children 18 and younger. So this is your opportunity to get in and see these guys, because many of the super investors, the master investors, are going to be there. And you're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be an incredible panel of these people that you can ask questions of, plus the information necessary to get started and get going on this. So, Robert, I'm glad you're going to make that, because this is going to be a great event. Let's talk about, as you moved along through this passive thing, what made you decide you might want to become a lead someday or at some point?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, watching the different leads that we were invested in and getting a better understanding of what it took to, you know, operate and find the properties and all that kind of good stuff. It fit real well with my career experience. So, you know, I was an engineer, but also in project management and, you know, the ability to define a scope and budget and all that kind of good stuff. It fits perfectly into a real estate business, I guess maybe any business where you know, define what the goals are and then you figure out the path to be able to achieve those goals. And so it's, you know, it was, we are in San Antonio and we bought our first property in San Antonio, and it was only, you know, 20 minutes from the office out of that. And my job at the time, you know, you spend a lot of time on the phone, and the hours are long, but you don't necessarily have to be in one spot at one time. So it was really easy for me to be able to get down to that property and be able to help function that particular property. But the transition from passive to lead was really just seeing that it was something that for sure I felt very comfortable that I could do, and not as much because I could do it and I saw these other guys doing it, but because of the support that's associated with it, you know, with the mentors and operations consultants and all that kind of good stuff. I don't think without that we would have ever gone to the lead option. Just the fact that you've got people that can pick up the phone and help you out, you know, at any particular time, it makes you feel much more comfortable that you can be successful with that.
So we offer both mentors, which is your particular expertise you're providing for members, whatever. And then we offer consultants. Can you explain to people what the difference is and why that's so important to have both?
Absolutely. So, you know, as a mentor, one thing that we do is we help you to, you know, find a property, and really when you find it, to help you to underwrite it and help you to build your team and understand, you know, we've got vendors that help us with insurance and financing and all that kind of good stuff. But putting that team together and analyzing the project to make sure that it makes sense to do. And then also, you know, walking the project. My first deal that I did, my mentor, Doug, he went down to the property and he walked it with me. And he pointed out, you know, here's some things that you need to look at. Here's, you know, take a look at these roofs, look at the ACs. And he walked that property with me and helped me to understand things that I didn't know because I wasn't experienced in that. But he had the experience of, you know, his own investments and helping other members that he could see things that I couldn't see, which really helped me to minimize the risk for that project. And then once you purchase the property, so you've got the keys, then it's all about operating. And, you know, we have tremendous operation experience in our group. So, you know, Teresa and Terry, they do a great job of picking up the phone and helping out. But there's always something new. Even now, there's something new. I've been a lead for 7 years. It's hard to believe that it's been that long. It doesn't seem that long. But there's always something that pops up that you haven't seen before or haven't had to deal with before. And the operations consultants are there to help answer those questions. You know, what happens if you have, you know, an issue on the property, somebody trips, what happens if you have, you know, an eviction. You know, the first time you do anything can be stressful. So those guys really help to support all of that operations experience.
All right, great. Well, I think we'll take a break right there, and then we will be right back with Robert Hale and the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Text the word radio to 88007. We'll be right back.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments. Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Robert Hale, and he is a mentor out of Central Texas. Has been a lead on 4 different deals, been in 41 different passive deals, been around since 2016, and is not only successful in his own right, in his own investments, but he's helping other people, has been helping other people for some time. Before we get back to Robert, though, I want to remind you again that I am having my 35th anniversary party, and I don't want to call it a party, it's an event, where we're going to have some of our best investors come in. We're going to have a panel. I'll be there, and we will be discussing investing live, where you can ask questions to some of the top single-family and multifamily investors in our group. That will happen on the 4th of September. That's a Thursday night from 6 till about 8 or 9 o'clock, and that's in Houston, Texas. And then that weekend in Houston, Texas, I'll be teaching Saturday and Sunday the introductory class along with my personal 35 years of insight into this stuff, and that'll be available. Now, if you want to get attend that and you have not signed up already, we'd like to get yourself a very inexpensive sales price membership. I am running a special because it is the 35th anniversary. You can get in for only $197. That's a family membership, husband, wife, kids, 18 and under. And for $1 more, you can add one more membership. It would be another full membership. So $198 buys you two full memberships, two family memberships. To get that benefit, to get that sales price, you have to text the word radio to 88007. That's 88007. All right, Robert, back to you again here. You got into 41 different passive deals. How far into it before you decided you're going to jump over to being a lead?
Yeah, it was year three. So it was 2018. At that point, we were in, I think we were in 16 passive deals at that point. We had got we had four the first year, eight the next year, and then we had a couple more before we had decided to start our lead path. And we continued. I mean, a passive investment is great investment, though. It's nothing better than getting that that mailbox money for no effort. So
that's me, the check in the mail guy. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I still push checks out. So a lot of guys do ACH. They get too lazy. They don't want to go to the mailbox, but.
Yeah, I understand. I like that feel of that check. People go, you're old school. Yep, I am, man. Seeing those checks means it's real. There it is, right? Actually, I still get some ACH or whatever it's called from people that just won't do it. Say, no, I'm not going to send you a check. But I understand. But either way, it's fun. So you started being a lead and you still did more passive. That's what's interesting to me. How did you rationalize that out? And most people want to put all their money into leads once they start being a lead. You wanted to do both. How did you rationalize that separation of your funds?
Well, I mean, it's our goal was not necessarily our goal was to retire, you know, however that whatever that method was. And, you know, from a lead standpoint, we're not going to buy, you know, lots of properties all at one time. We've had four that we've bought. Two have gone full cycle, one's in a cycle, and then we got one that we're operating that's not we're not looking at liquidating. So, you know, we never want to be like massive big lead operators. We just want to have properties that we can feel comfortable that, you know, we can have a good return to our investors and we can be proud to operate and we can do something for the community and things like that. So so for us, the passive investing allows us to be able to get that capital working with other leads. And like I said, get that mailbox money rolling in while we're out, you know, having fun running the few properties that we're going to run.
Now, as you taking on these lead deals yourself, and then, of course, you've got all this experience of helping other people, let's talk about what you think is the most important thing to get done in the first 90 days. Because I think a lot of people that don't succeed, in other words, the ones that do get this done, but the ones that don't succeed kind of just, they buy it and go like, huh? And go on. I've seen people buy it, close, and go on vacation the next day to celebrate that they bought something. I mean, that just can't happen, right? The 90 days is the most important.
Yeah, absolutely. You need people to be able to see that that you care about their community and that you're going to be doing some things that are going to improve, you know, where they live. And you need to get it out of the way. You know, you need to get you got your capital budget there, you got your capital raised. And so anything that's going to happen with the amenities, with the exterior of the apartments, you know, whether it's roofing or whether it's painting, all those things need to happen instantly. And in my opinion, the more activity that you have at the beginning of the project, the more that people see that you're doing something, and it's going to spark some interest and some excitement. People are going to want to know what's going on and kind of be part of that. And then you want to get it out of the way because you don't want to be sitting there, you know, with dragging out contractors on a property because it ends up being disturbing to your resident base. So you need to get in and get out, you know, make sure that you got everything that you have planned done as soon as you can get it done so that it shows a big impact and it also doesn't disturb the residents any longer than what you need to.
All right. So you get in there and get that 90-day stuff jacked up and get it going. Do you have a budget for that, I assume?
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll have, you know, a pretty detailed capital budget with quotes and whatnot. So, you know, within the first couple of days of takeover, contractors ought to be out there starting work. But yeah, there is certainly a capital budget for each of the items that need to be done for the project as you have planned. And I believe, you know, I tell people you need to raise a little bit more money, have a contingency fund, because you're going to find debris and onion whenever you start doing any kind of rehab or upgrade. There's going to be something that, even though we do really good inspections, there'll be something that isn't found. So it's important to have a little bit more than what you plan for, because for those unforeseen events, you know.
Okay. So you take the thing on, you're getting the capital repairs out of the way. What types of stuff are you doing in the office? You know, what is the manager doing? What are you changing on the touching the client side?
First couple of weeks is getting your feet on the ground, making sure that you have all the systems up, making sure that you have all the information for the residents and those types of things. But then I think it's important to do resident reach outs, you know, to make sure that they know. And usually the first day of operation, we let them know, hey, here's where you're going to go. Here's the office number if it's changed. You know, here's where you're going to go to see your portal. Here's where you go to do your work orders. And please let us know of anything that you have that hasn't been addressed so that we can go out there and get those things fixed. One, because we want to make sure that they're fixed. But two, we also want them to know that we're there to take care of them, whether they're past management company or owners were or not. You know, it's not, we don't always take on deals where they're completely neglected, although sometimes we do. And so we want them to know that, hey, we're here to make sure that your community is up to par and everything's working in your unit, whatnot. So we'll do that day one. And then it's the, you know, after the first month or so, we'll start having things like a little resident events where we can hopefully make that contact with the residents, you know, have a pizza party or something like that. So they come in and they're comfortable with the new the management that's there, and they can, you know, we can kind of hear what's going on in the community just as the residents talk to us during these types of events. And we typically hold those once a month at least.
So you ever had to do a clean out when you took over a property where there was a bunch of bad tenants or non-paying tenants that needed to be removed as residents before you could move on?
Oh, we do see that sometimes, for sure. I don't think on the properties that we bought, like I said, there's only been four, that we've had any kind of large force out of residents. Now, we have bought a property that had very few residents in it, and we were really able to go in there and knock out a lot of things really quickly. But it is, I mean, what you're saying there is absolutely right. If you have some, you need to take care of all the issues you can as quick as you can at the beginning of the project so that, one, you get all of that out of the way, and two, people see that you're doing something to improve where they're at. And you want to have the minimum disturbance to the property from a time frame standpoint, because you want to get back up to stabilization and just and running the property and just working on, you know, maybe improved operations instead of dealing with problems. You want to get that problem-solving step done as quick as possible.
I want to take us down a different path. I know, as being a mentor, because I did it for so many years, it's one of the most fulfilling things there is. People go, well, why would you give back? People always ask that question, why would you give back? And the answer is, more than anything else, it's really an enjoyable thing to do. I mean, watching other people grow under your tutelage and watching them become successful and them looking back at you and, you know, really thanking you is an incredible feeling. There's no doubt about that. My question to you is, just for the people listening, what are the toughest things for your new members, new investors, when you first start working with them? What kind of walls do you run into with these people?
Yeah, I think it's a fear of getting started. They want to get started, right? But they don't really want to get started. They don't know how to, you know, ask the questions that are going to be something to help them, you know, get along on the first part of their path. The other thing that's kind of tough sometimes is that, you know, you tell them what you think that the property should be worth, right? Because you make your money when you buy. And they're intimidated to negotiate, you know, a price. And so it is a little frustrating at sometimes, because you know that they can get this property and, you know, you can help change their lives and the lives of their investors. And, you know, we change the lives of the communities too, Dale. This isn't something that we go in and buy something, we don't run it well. We improve those communities for the people that live there as well. And so, you know, for the new guys that kind of are just getting started, just kind of getting over that hurdle of fear of rejection or fear of getting started, or, you know, I think that's probably the toughest part for the new guys that are getting started.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, because they want a deal, No, they want to buy a piece of real estate more than they want to wait for a deal. I don't know if I define that clear enough, but the bottom line is they're so excited sometimes that they're willing to pay any price. And we have to hold them back and say, no, it's not the right price. You got to get them to come down a little bit. And some of them, it's intimidating. They've never negotiated anything in their life, right? So I get that. That's a tough one. So you've got the overzealous, and then you've got the just plain scared, afraid to do anything. You run into those also?
Absolutely, yeah. We get members that, they come in, they start tagging properties, and they really never just do anything from that. You can sense that they want to do something. You know, I want to do something. But they've taken that step and actually, performing a task that helps them to get started. A lot of people, it's hard for them to overcome that fear. But we've got the resources for them. So, there's been so many people that have been able to be successful with this because of what you've taught us. That people just have to be willing to take that step. They've got to be willing to put themselves out there to be able to change their lives.
The worst question I've ever run into, ineffective question I've ever been run into as a mentor is, which is better for me? Which will I make more money on, single family or multifamily? And the reality is, and it's hard to get them to understand this, it's what's better for you. What is your risk tolerance? What is your time allotment and time that you can invest into doing this? How much money do you have? How much of it do you have? Are you willing to risk in any one deal? All of these personalized questions to me is why people hire a mentor, as opposed to just, you get the information, you get the classes, you study, you learn all this stuff. But when they get to me, or when they got to me as a mentor, the number one question is, what do I do? I go, what do you mean? You just went through 2 days, 16 hours of information. What do you mean? What do you do? I don't know where to go. And I think that's one of the most important things I had to help them do was work through. And it's even more complicated, Robert, when the wife wants something different than the husband. And so you've got all the challenges of one person making a life-changing decision. Now add a second person that has a differing opinion. Put them together and it becomes quite an obstacle. You run into these?
Yeah, occasionally we do, for sure. Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because the first thing we do is we're going to start with their goals. What are you trying to do? This is your goal. Okay, so what do you have? Where are you at? So we know we got an idea of where you want to go, and now we have an idea of where you're at, and then what's the process to get there? What's the path to get there? And sometimes it's hard just to get the goal, where we want to be, to get consensus on what that is. But that's just part of human nature. People have different opinions on what they want. Even whenever they're, partnered up, they may have different opinions, but you kind of got to get set on where you want to be in order to know which direction to go. So
I understand. Well, Robert, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you sharing your story with us again, and I look forward to seeing you at the 35th anniversary event. The rest of you out there, hey, whether you've been listening to me 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months, or 6 years, get off the couch. It's time to come out. And let's at least get you the information you need to be able to make a decision if you want to do this stuff. Okay, $197, that's dinner for your family. It's well worth it. Let's get in here. $198, split that between two families. That's only $100 a piece. That's less than meals for your family. This is time for you to get in here and find this stuff out. So remember, text the word radio to 88007. Text radio to 88007 and get that $197 prize. The rest of you out there, remember this. It's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Dell's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.